Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There is no shortage of people who will tell you that God is speaking to them or speaking through them. They have dreams, they have ideas, they hear words from God. All these claims are commonly made in Christianity today, especially pop American Christianity. But those claims need to be tested, especially when someone claims they're getting prophetic words, like, you know, Old Testament prophet kind of words from God. So how do you test them? Well, you test them against the sure word of God, which is Holy Scripture. We're going to be talking about that, getting some examples. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
What's the relationship between America's biggest church, Lakewood Community Church, where Joel Osteen holds sway, there in Houston, and the teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
A lot of people don't remember this, but Joel Osteen's father, John Osteen, was one of these fellows who in the 20th century very publicly adopted the Pentecostal teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And Joel Osteen, as well as his sister Lisa Gomez, who we'll be hearing from shortly, they both buy into this Pentecostal doctrine that there is a second baptism that Christians must undergo, and it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's always evidenced by the speaking in tongues. Now, what I find fascinating here is that Scripture explicitly teaches that not all speak in tongues. And so this is a doctrine on its face. If you know your Bible, you should easily be able to say, no, that's not what God's Word actually says. In 1 Corinthians 12, which is the passage that Pentecostals and Charismatics always go to, in order to say, listen, these are the gifts of the Spirit. There are nine gifts of the Spirit and things like that. But if you read the passage itself, the passage is very clear that that God gives different gifts to different people. And the analogy that's given is that we are the body of Christ, and so we are not all the same members or have the same gifts, because the body of Christ needs to have hands and feet and toes and nose and eyes and mouth and things like that. And so the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as believed by Joel Osteen and his sister Lisa, as well as taught by their father John Osteen, is easily debunkable, because 1 Corinthians 12 literally asks the question, and there's a series of questions at the end of the chapter that says, are all apostles? And in the Greek, there's an untranslated negative particle, me, which means that each of these questions has to be answered in the negative. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? The answer to both questions is no. Do all work miracles? Do all speak with tongues? The answer to all of these questions is no. And so, I mean, if you know your Bible, the claims of those receiving direct revelation from God in the charismatic movement who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you would recognize that that doctrine does not square with Scripture. Therefore, it must be rejected, along with the signs and wonders that they claim accompany their beliefs. And so today we'll kind of do a little bit of some work, just doing some testing work against some of the prophecies that are coming from people who claim this baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Real quickly, about 30 seconds before we listen to Lisa Gomez, why is it that Joel Osteen doesn't do a lot of tongue speaking and this kind of stuff when he's doing his television ministry? He doesn't seem to emphasize it that much.
No, he doesn't at all. In fact, I think the reason he doesn't is because I think he would lose a lot of his audience if he were to pull out and highlight on stage his Pentecostal beliefs. But that doesn't change the fact that Lakewood teaches them it's just not part of the messages that make it on the air on Joel Osteen's television program.
What are we going to hear first here, Chris?
We're going to be hearing Lisa Comez. This is Joel Osteen's sister. She's one of the pastors at Lakewood in Houston. And she's this is from this past Wednesday night, so this is a couple of nights ago. Her basically getting up and explaining what it is that she's going to be doing and its origin. I'll let her explain.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's great to see all of you. Are you ready for the Word of God tonight? Yes, yes, yes. It's so good to see you. And this is going to be a good year. Amen. It's going to be the best year. That's what I'm declaring. You know, yesterday I was praying over you, and I was praying over this service, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And you know how you start in your own language? I started praying in English, and then all of a sudden I started praying in tongues. And then you know how sometimes you just get in a vein with the Holy Spirit and you start interceding in tongues. And I began to intercede, and I began to intercede, and I just felt like God was breaking down barriers, and He was doing something in the hearts of you all and in your lives. And so, amen. And so as I began to do that, God began to speak to my heart. And so I have a prophecy for you. I just got my phone. Thank God for our iPhones. I got our phones. As God began to speak to me, I just started dictating and dictating. Hey, Brother John Gray, why didn't you tell me you're coming? You could have been here doing the prayer or something. But we got Mighty Craig, so that doesn't matter. Good to see you. But anyway, you know, prophecy is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. You can find it in 2 Corinthians 12, I believe. And it is always a word of encouragement, edification, and comfort. And it's a message that the Holy Spirit gives through a believer. And so, you know what? I just invite you. I'm going to read it to you because I wrote it all down. But this is what I feel like the Lord. Why don't you just...
All right, Chris. First, with about a minute here before we take our break, what was she setting up there?
She was setting up literally a direct revelation that she claimed that God gave her while she was praying for the people at Lakewood in tongues. Now, scripture, let me put it this way. There is a debate within Christian circles today as to whether or not certain gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. And a lot of people in the charismatic movement, if you basically tell them, listen, we don't believe that prophecy has continued to this day, and we don't believe that the gift of tongues has continued to this day, they will automatically just say you're a cessationist and you are closed-minded and you don't understand the scriptures. And so there's another way that you can go about it. You can actually say, well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 makes it clear that we are to test everything and hold to that which is good. And so even if you don't believe that certain gifts have ceased, you can literally listen to and observe what's going on by these people claiming direct revelation from God and know that they're not telling the truth. But we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Chris Rosebro is our guest this week in Pop American Christianity. Stay tuned.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Daily worship, historical hymnody, and catechesis interwoven with direct instruction in phonics, traditional math, literature, grammar, history, Latin, and strings. It's part of our daily life at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're located 1 mile off Interstate 55. For more information, visit school.stpaulhamel.org. We would love to share our joy in learning with your child. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. ReformationGear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, ReformationGear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, January the 13th. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, our regular weekly feature this week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're talking about testing prophetic words with the Bible. Chris, as we test these prophecies, these claim prophecies from people like Lisa Gomez, against and with the Bible, what should we be looking for?
Okay, we should be looking for several things. Number one, like the obvious. And I would use as an example what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. And by fruits here, Christ is really talking about their doctrine. And he asks, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear a bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And Jesus, again, is really pointing to their doctrine. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So the first thing you're going to want to be looking for when it comes to their doctrine is, what is their posture towards the written word of God? Because we know that is a sure and certain prophetic revelation from God, and what are they doing with the content of it? And so Lisa Gomez, I'll point out the obvious, Lisa Gomez is considered to be an associate pastor at Lakewood Church. Well, Scripture specifically forbids women from preaching in Christ's church. So she already is obviously not doing the will of the Father, because the Father's will has been revealed in Scripture that forbids women from being pastors. And furthermore, because she's not only doing this herself, but is an advocate for women being pastors, she is a worker of lawlessness. So on the right on the surface, you can say, I already know without hearing a single word out of her mouth that what she's going to say is not from God the Holy Spirit. But the second test would be within the prophecy itself. You need to listen carefully and ask the question, is there anything that is obviously false doctrine in the prophecy that is purporting to be coming from God the Holy Spirit? And so even if the person kind of passes the first test at first glance, the second test is going to be of vital importance. And as we listen to the next part, I want you to note something here, Todd, and that is that we're going to hear her do something I've never seen done before. Although in our confessional Lutheran churches, we generally stand in honor of the reading of the gospel text Sunday after Sunday. We're going to hear Pastor Lisa Gomez have the people of Lakewood stand as in honor of the word of God, and it's not the Bible that she's talking about. So let's listen to cut two.
You know what? I feel like we ought to stand a minute. Is that okay in honor of the word of the Lord? Would you just stand and close your eyes and let me read this to you, and you just let it get into your spirit. You are entering into a new season of joy and peace like you've never experienced before. The desperation and the heaviness of the past are leaving you. Rise up, my children. Rise up, for I created you for my glory. Do not let the enemy keep you bowed down in defeat. Rise and shine, for my glory is upon you, and you are to be a sign and a wonder in this world, that people may see the glory of the Lord, that people may see my hand hand upon you, that people may see that you are different and that my anointing is on you. The anointing to conquer, the anointing to overcome, the anointing to walk in freedom, the anointing to do what man cannot do, the anointing, now listen to this, the anointing to move mountains in your life, the anointing of joy, the anointing of supernatural peace. Now be free and spread my joy. Be free and spread my peace. Lift up your head, says the Lord, from this day forward and walk as my child. For my spirit is upon you and my presence is with you always. Never forget that. Never forget that you are my child. You are my little one and no one can snatch you out of my hand, says the Lord. Go forth. Go forth, let nothing stop you, let nothing move you, for you are never alone. Go forth and conquer. Go forth and move mountains in my name. Be the light that I have called you to be in this dark world. Listen to this. Quit begging me for things. Pray in faith and go about your business for me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we receive it in the name of Jesus. We command desperation and heaviness to go, hopelessness to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we receive that anointing. We are anointed, Father. And this is going to be our best year. It's going to be a year of great joy, Father. It's going to be a year of great peace in our lives. We're going to see mountains move that have been there for years, Father. We're going to go forth and conquer in your mighty name, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Chris, a couple thoughts here. She gives her brother a run for his money. She's got a little more energy than Joel does in terms of her preaching, just in terms of energy. But the thing that just struck me throughout the entire thing, she has the congregation standing. And if I recall what she said before, she's reading something that she herself dictated into her iPhone and asking these people to receive it as God's word.
That is absolutely correct. That is what we just heard her doing. And it gets a little bit worse. When she finally gets into her message proper, she begins to open up the book of Nehemiah. And for the Bible, the written word of God, she has everybody sit down. So, I mean, this is backwards, upside down, and inside out. I mean, this is utterly blasphemous, what we're hearing. But if you notice, there were some very specific things that she claimed that God told her, and she was speaking for God in first person. Notice that she was speaking as if she were God. And one of the things that God said was to stop begging him for things. Stop begging me for things is one of the things that she said that God was saying, to step out in faith. And so she was, you know, decreeing and declaring and all this kind of nonsense. Well, Scripture says, in the Psalms, call on me. God says, call on me in the day of trouble. God wants us to call on him, to beseech him, to pray, and to ask. I mean, even to the point, it might even seem like it, like begging. There's nothing wrong with coming to God and saying, oh, Lord, I'm in deep trouble. Please have mercy on me and forgive me and deliver me from my affliction. And when you read the Psalms, many of the Psalms are written in exactly that voice, that kind of thing. And so there's certain things that she said in this so-called prophecy that if you know your Bible and sound doctrine, you would say, that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the devil. That the whatever the origin of this prophecy is, one thing is certain. It is not heaven, and it is not the triune God. We got something totally different going on. And you'll notice that the written word of God, it doesn't get the honor that this prophecy gets. In fact, it's a little bit of a letdown. They get the hoop and then the hollering for the prophecy, but they settle down and sit down for the written word of God. This is wicked. This is demonic. If I've ever seen anything demonic, this is it.
You can just have to marvel at the fact that, and in the very same teaching, She essentially says, don't listen to God's word. Listen to whatever I dictated in my iPhone. So she cuts them off from the only true certain source of revelation from God. And then when she gets to, as you said, teaching about prayer, she basically says, stop asking God for stuff. She cuts off the other avenue there.
Yeah. Yeah. She cuts them off from hearing God's voice, and she cuts them off from communicating their needs to God, and instead replaces it with a false teaching on prayer where I stand up and I decree things. So if, let's say, I'm struggling with debt, well, I don't pray to God, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Please give us this day our daily bread, and include it in that, Lord, please provide for me the means to be able to pay the debts that I owe. Instead, you're supposed to just step out in faith and say, I decree and declare prosperity for myself, and I break that spirit of poverty over me and my family. And when somebody does something like that, they're not praying. They're actually engaging in a form of witchcraft and magic, which the Bible explicitly condemns. And so not only are they cut off from hearing the voice of God through the written word, now God no longer hears from them. They are completely isolated and cut off from the one true God and their only source of salvation and hope in this world. And this is exactly what the devil always seeks to do, to cut you off and to separate you and isolate you from God.
We've talked about Joel Osteen's preaching many times, and I've wondered, you know, why would the devil bother, except for as a major distraction from the true gospel, why would he bother to expend everything he does to get people to fill places like Lakewood? But I think I see here that Joel is just kind of the front man. Once he's got them in the doors, this is what he wants to do with them. Once he's got their ears, this is what he wants them to hear.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the longer you stay there, the farther from God and his voice you get. In fact, we should look at something like this and be humbled and understand that if it were not for God's grace, this could be us that is being deceived by Lisa Gomez and Joel Osteen. We're not any better than these people who are being deceived. And so we need to remember to pray for those who are literally under the dominion of darkness, attending a church like Lakewood, believing that they are hearing the word of Christ when all along they're hearing the voice of the devil. It's very, very frightening when you boil it all down.
You've brought another example of this. This is more local here from David Crank. What are we going to hear?
David Crank, he's the vision casting leader at Faith Church of St. Louis. And his first sermon coming out of for the year, he did something rather fascinating. But what we're going to do is we're going to test the content of what he says against the Word of God and ask ourselves just a simple question. Is this the voice of God that we're hearing in this prophecy that David Crank is preaching in this sermon?
So I want to tell you how to live your best life now. And I want you to write this down. Here's what God told me. And for new people here, you know it's a good worship set, by the way, when you've got guitar picks flying everywhere. Here's two of them. I take these, collect them, and sell them back to the guys. It's just a little side business I have. So God, first of all, talks to you, all right? And I know that's weird. Some people are new to God, and you're like, God wouldn't talk to me. I'm here to tell you that God talks to you even when you're a sinner. Now, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And it's strange that I follow. So if you're of God's sheepfold, you know that's God. But when you're just on a bar stool, you might not know it's God, but God talks to you. He's saying, hey, I love you. This is the right track for you. So God speaks to you. All people, no matter what religion, 256 denominations in America, no matter what denomination you are, and we don't do labels here. I believe if you go up, they fall off. If you go down, you burn off. And there are many doors in heaven. Baptist door, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Protestants, Catholic, Lutheran, Jew, confused. When you get in there, you walk in and there's Jesus on the stage going, got ya. If you believed in me, you're in here, right? Okay? So God talks to you. So the more you know God, the more you recognize his voice. So here's something he told me to tell you. Okay? Write this down. He said, I want you to be obedient and available. Obedient and available. Everybody shout that with me. Come on, Weldon. Obedient and available. So one, we need to obey God more. And most of the time, I know what to do. I just don't do it. Can I get a helping hand? Okay. So I know what's right. I just don't always do what's right. So God's saying, if you'll up your obedience and you'll say, I'm available, Lord. He said that we would be dangerous to the devil. Y'all ready to be dangerous to the devil this year?
So let's test it, Chris.
All right. So right off the bat, we'll start by testing the one claiming to receive the prophecy. Is it true that God cares nothing about the doctrinal differences across the different denominations, including, and notice in he said in the mix there, Judaism? Is it true that God doesn't care anything about the doctrinal differences? The only thing that matters is you believe in Jesus and you're automatically in. Is that true? You know, the reality of the situation is the scripture itself in 2 Corinthians 11 says that there are false Christ and there are false gospels and there's a false spirit. So not all denominations actually believe in the real Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the one who exists. And they have a false Jesus and a false spirit and even a false gospel. So right off the bat, you have to ask yourself the question, his laissez-faire attitude toward doctrine, and even including Judaism at this point, it shows us that the one giving the prophecy is theologically at best, and I mean this, aberrant. So my question always is, when somebody claims to be hearing the voice of God, they have theology like this, my question is, why isn't the Holy Spirit saying, you need to knock that off, and you need to repent, and you need to believe what the scriptures say, that we are to rebuke those who teach false doctrine and contradict the word of God. This is what scripture says to do, and that God himself does not take a laissez-faire attitude towards sound doctrine. The other thing that I thought was very fascinating was the fact that in his prophecy, he basically said, God says, if you will up your obedience and your availability, then God's going to increase blessing. Well, what's funny is that a passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 3, specifically addresses this, where the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, which was adopting a form of self-righteousness in the form of the Judaizing heresies, Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. So let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain if it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? So notice here, the Apostle Paul sets up a dichotomy and totally says the Galatians who believe that God was blessing them because of their law keeping, they were in error, and instead God gives us his Spirit and works miracles among us because we hear with faith. So a totally different theology altogether. And David Crank has, in the name of the Lord, said you need to up your obedience, and his blessings are going to be contingent upon your obedience and your availability. But the other thing that David Crank said is that God was promising the people who would basically obey this prophecy that they would have the best 2017 ever, but also that they needed to apply these things if they wanted to have their best life ever. And right off the bat, then, you see that this has to be a false doctrine or a doctrine of the devil, because if you believe that you can have your best life now, then you are denying eternity and eternal life. The one who is seeking to have his best life now literally is seeking to go to hell, because hell would be the place of their eternity rather than be with Christ in the new earth. And so many things that are just obvious within that 2-minute soundbite, that if you know your Bible, you would say there's no way this person is hearing from God. That's not God speaking, because it contradicts the written word of God so clearly that that either has to be David Crank speaking out of his own heart, or he's being inspired by the devil himself. And it's obvious.
We're talking about testing prophetic words with the Bible. In This Week in Pop American Christianity, Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest. He is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Another example that we can use to test prophetic words with the Bible on the other side of the break. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. TheCLCC.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, a timely resource. It's not necessarily for kids. It's definitely for adults, because it's dealing with the ethics of sex. Of course, we've been told for, what, now two generations that the ethics of sex is whatever you make of it. If it feels good, do it. And of course, the Bible presents a very different ethic. Dealing with the topics that are current today, this volume, Ethics of Sex, From Taboo to Delight, will cover all of your interests there and equip you to understand what's going on in the world around you. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Ethics of Sex, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Ethics of Sex, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest. Chris, there's another example you brought for us. Is this more of David Crank?
Nope, this is Ron Phillips of Abba's House. And we'll just listen to the prophecy itself and see if anything stands out as contrary to what Scripture says.
The anointing is flowing. Lift up your hands and receive from the Lord right now. For I, the Lord, will bless you in 2017. For it is the year of my jubilee. It is the year where you will harvest past seed and seed you've not sown. You'll step into open doors that you didn't open, that I did. where unexpected blessing will come your way, where even the heartaches of this last year will step you into a closer relationship with me. But says the Lord, you must stop your whining, for you're not entitled, saith the Lord. For it's by my grace and my grace alone that I will pour out my blessing on you. Every mountain will fall when you shout grace. Every difficulty. Never come to me saying you deserve something. When you've done it all, confess to me you're an unprofitable servant. And watch my mercy and grace bring you more than your efforts ever could. Grace. 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 Give God a shout in Jesus' name.
What was that all about, Chris?
That was some of the most backhanded grace I have ever heard in my life. We'll start with kind of the obvious. Where in Scripture does it say that anointings flow and that the way you receive them is by pointing your hands up into the air to somehow grab them or receive them like that? So already we've got a problem, and that is that he's got an aberrant doctrine regarding the so-called anointing. And this is the kind of talk that we should be careful of, because Jesus in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 warns us not only of false prophets, but also of false, and I'll use the Greek word, Christoi, false anointed ones. That's what Christoi are. And so in the charismatic and Pentecostal movements, they talk a lot about the anointing and modern-day anointed ones. We need to see them for what they are, and these are false Christoi, because that's the word Christos in Greek, means anointed one. But the other thing was, is you'll notice for all his talk of grace, you know, the phrase that stood out in the so-called prophecy was, quit your whining. Quit your whining. And you're sitting there going, what on earth is that? Now, I would point you to something like Psalm 13, and there are many psalms like this. And listen to how David spoke to God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, or my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now that's all of Psalm 13, and you'll notice that Psalm 13, the opening portion of it, and there are many psalms like this, it sounds like David is whining. That David is somehow, you know, just wanting to know where God is. Where is he gone? Why isn't he attending to his needs? And yet a psalm like this invites us, in the midst of times where it seems like God is not hearing us, to continue to seek his face and to trust in his steadfast love. And so already we got a problem. If God's saying, quit your whining, what exactly does that mean? And how come David got to do it? And so, you know, the stuff within these prophecies that obviously, if you know your Bible, this can't be God the Holy Spirit speaking, because they flat out contradict clear passages of Scripture, clear concepts and doctrines in Scripture, and contradict the very character of God revealed in Scripture. So even if you don't believe that prophecy in tongues have ceased, if you know your Bible, you should be able to point out the obvious and say, all right, I believe that prophecy in tongues are still around, but I know with certainty that person claiming to be hearing from God isn't, because they're contradicting the written word of God. And, you know, that's kind of the idea of our segment today.
Can you explain the uniformity of this? We hear anointing, we hear prosperity, we hear again and again best life, we hear overcoming. We hear this picture of the Christian life in all of these false prophecies. Is this the kind of victory that Scripture promises to Christians?
No, not at all. Jesus makes it clear that, in fact, it's a promise that if you are truly his disciple, you are going to suffer and you're going to be persecuted. And Jesus explicitly tells us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. A cross is not something that's a pretty thing. A cross is well designed to kill you. And so the Christian life is not one of victory to victory. A Christian life is one of suffering and persecution as we head towards the grave. And the reason for it is simple, is that Christ is saving us through the curse. He's not saving us from it. So the promise we have is from the book of Revelation, where Christ says, "Behold, I make all things new." And so over and again, these purveyors of these false prophecies, they are teaching a theology of self-glory, and the theology of self-glory basically has us believing a false set of promises that somehow the Christian life is about experiencing victory and overcoming and going from, you know, strength to strength in this life. And that's not what Christ promises us. Instead, what Christ is really doing, he is killing us so that he can make us alive on the last day and raise us from the grave. So what they're doing is they're pulling eschatological promises from, you know, regarding what is coming when Jesus returns, and trying to pull them into the present under the curse, and it doesn't work. And the people who buy into this false theology of self-glory, they end up despairing because these promises are not actually from God. And rather than experiencing the victory that they were promised if they did this thing, that thing, or the other thing, they have the exact opposite experience, and the inevitable happens to them. Their body wears out, they get a disease that's going to lead to their death, and there's no decreeing and declaring their way out of it because they're heading to the grave, and all along they were being taught a false Jesus with a false gospel by false prophets who have false anointings, who were speaking for God, who did not actually hear a message from God. And rather than being comforted by the true promises of Scripture in the gospel, they end up despairing and dying without faith and are lost eternally because they did not do what Scripture says, and that is to test the prophets, test the teachers, to see if what they're saying squares with the Word of God. And they allowed themselves to be deceived, and the price for this is eternal death in the lake of fire. That's what's really at stake here.
Chris, can we expect more testing prophecy with the Bible on Fighting for the Faith tonight?
Well, we have an internet outage, I think, caused by the ice storm south of us. And so there will be no live broadcast of Fighting for the Faith today. I'll have to catch it on the podcast, but we will be picking up some more stuff like that when the episode finally gets posted.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com. That's piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks again.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it is a Friday. We have been back live for a full week here. We have audio sound bites to play for you, four of them. That means it's time to play Issues, Etc. sound bite of the week. We'll play those four sound bites. And after we've played them, your vote will determine which will be Issues, Etc. sound bite of the week. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Friday, January the 13th, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week, and your votes for it right after this.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Thank you for helping us make budget and for more than 4 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2016. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 9 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2017.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.